What do you think about torture?
It's not human. Shouldn't be done. Ever. For any case. Regardless.
Yeah. I think I'm against torture, definitely. And we should, try to eliminate torture in the world. It's obviously a very difficult thing. What else did I say about torture?
So what do you think about torture?
I don't know if I have an opinion on torture. I guess I think it's wrong. And awful.
I don't think there's any reason to ever use it, personally. I think it's been proven you don't get good information when you torture people. They give you the information that they think you want to hear. Obviously not the only reason, just morally, I don't think it's right. I don't think there's any reason. I don't think you can justify keeping someone from hurting someone else by hurting them. I don't think there's any justification for that.
I don't know. I'd have to agree. I think there's kind of two separate arguments. I think there's the moral argument, which is pretty obvious that torture is wrong. But also, yeah, I don't think it's effective. I think it's important to separate those two things, and just not assume the only reason to do it is the moral argument, because I don't think it's effective either.
Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak was arrested while on vacation in Sudan on the recommendation of the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, or CSIS. He was beaten and threatened while detained with no charges. He remained in Sudan for 6 years. He is one of many victims of Canada outsourcing torture, including Abdullah Al-Malki, Ahmed El-Mati, Mouyad Noureddin, and Maher Arar. Under the Security Certificate Program, condemned by the UN Committee Against Torture and UN Human Rights Committee, non-citizens living in Canada are detained under secret evidence and under the threat of deportation to torture. Stefan Christoph, human rights activist and journalist, believes in generating a nationwide discussion on Canada's involvement in torture. The CKDU News Collective had the chance to catch up with him in Montreal.
Well, myself, I've been very involved in the case of Abdulrazak, the Sudanese Canadian who was exiled in Khartoum, in Sudan's capital, for over 6 years. Very briefly, although his case has been mediatized, I think one important point that we've missed is the fact that Canadian officials were directly involved in his initial imprisonment in Sudan. And so the question that we should be asking today is not about, I think, Abdulrazak's story and his travels that, date back decades, which is, of course, completely his right as a citizen to travel the world, which he did. Those travels arose suspicion from the Canadian Intelligence Service, and that then led to his interrogation and eventual detention, imprisonment, and torture in Sudan. Now, no charges were ever brought against him in any court. Despite that, he was detained in Sudan and actually interrogated by Canadian officials from CSIS, the intelligence service, in the very same prison where he was being tortured. So I think today the question we should be asking is, who are the Canadian officials directly responsible for his imprisonment, detention, and torture? And how are different government agencies, including CSIS, involved in the torture of a Canadian citizen? I think those are really important questions to ask, and ones that I feel generally the media coverage around this case has been failing in recent months to address. Another important case, I think, is the case of Abdullah Al-Maliki, who is a Syrian-Canadian, and he was also tortured. He had a relationship with Maher Arar, a Canadian that was, that was known across the country. His case made headlines, but in the cell right beside Maher Arar in prison in Damascus, Syria, was Abdullah Al-Maliki, who is another Canadian, and a similar commission of inquiry was set up to address his case. That is Abdullah Al-Maliki, a Canadian from Ottawa, who was tortured in Syrian prison. That was called the Ikabuchi Inquiry. That inquiry did find clearly that Canada had been indirectly involved in prolonging his stay in Syria, and also indirectly involved in the fact that he was singled out and imprisoned and then tortured in Syria. Now, little action has been taken on the findings of this commission, which was a government commission that took place in Ottawa. So I think the general theme here, we can go through many names, but the fact is that we have multiple stories of Canadians that faced torture abroad, and our government was in some way involved. You know, and I think it's really, really important for us to recognize the fact that Canada's political relationship to torture after 9/11 is changing. The fact is that clearly people across the world are opposed to torture. I think if you go onto the street and speak to anybody about torture as a reality, as a politically administered, you know, weapon in the war on terror, most people would obviously oppose the use of torture. But the fact is with the war, torture has been again brought onto the table as something to be considered, as a tactic to be used. And the government of Canada has been involved in that process of normalization of torture, despite Canada being a signatory to the convention that we spoke about before, you know, which is a very important international convention, which is the International Convention Against Torture, which Canada signed and ratified. You know, so Canada, in the case of the Sudanese Canadian Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik, is in clear violation of that international convention. And I don't think that we really have been looking at how profoundly important it is that we have a government today in Canada that is attempting to normalize the use of torture abroad, but also against its own citizens.
You mentioned that under the context of the war on terror, that torture is being normalized. Let's explore that for a minute. These are Canadian citizens that we're talking about here. To what extent is racial profiling play into this picture?
Well, I think to a huge degree, David. The reality is that people who have faced torture post 9/11, and the Canadian government has had a role in that, have been Arab and Muslim Canadian citizens. So, you know, in the case of Abu Sufyan, the Sudanese Canadian, exiled for 6 years in Khartoum, jailed in the most notorious prisons of Sudan, where, you know, prisons that actually have made international headlines, because those are the very same prisons where dissidents from the Darfur region in Sudan are jailed. Darfur has been an issue that has caught headlines. But here we have a Canadian detained in the very same prison where Darfurian refugees and political activists are being detained by the government of Sudan, and we are not having a real debate about that fact, because Canada was involved in that detention of Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik. I mean, beyond that, I think that there's, you know, really interesting analysis around the way that torture is normalized. And I think that when we think about torture and its normalization, we also have to think about the way that war and the war on terror has criminalized entire sections of society, both domestically and globally. Why do we not question the fact that, you know, torture is a very clear reality within the war on terror? On the battlefields of Afghanistan, you know, we've been in the last weeks focusing on the fact that Canada was directly involved in the transfer of hundreds of prisoners to Afghan jails where they were tortured. And, you know, in the words of the official who blew the whistle on the torture scandal in Afghanistan, these were not combatants. Often they were farmers, locals, Afghan people who had been caught up in the NATO military occupation of the country. So again, in Afghanistan, where Canada has presented at least you know, a mission that is coded in language of humanitarianism, we have torture going on again. And so Canada, again, is tied to torture. And so I don't think it's a coincidence, you know, in terms of your question, that this torture is being applied against Arab and Muslim people, both Canadians, you know, in the cases that we addressed, of Canadians detained and tortured abroad, but also in terms of countries that are that are facing the brunt of Canada's military operations, which is, you know, the case of Afghanistan, you know, where torture has become a reality in prison. And I think that it's not something that just happens, you know, torture in Afghan prison. It's something that we have responsibility to address. And I think the fact that our government has a direct role in the systemic torture of Afghan civilians is something that we need to have a political debate about in this country.
Thank you, Stefan.
For more information, please visit peoplescommission.org. For the CKDU News Collective, this is David Parker in Halifax. Music in this podcast performed by the Black Ox Orchestra. For more CKDU News podcasts, please visit news.ckdu.ca.